You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome back to an Andres Biedrens night.
Goose! I hadn't heard that one for a while. Steph Curry reacted very lively to seeing the giant picture of the Warriors 75-year celebration, the giant photos of the players they put up there. And it's Andres Biedrens this night. And Steph Curry comes up their post-game and says, Goose! Andres Biedrens! It was hilarious.
Yep, but the game was interesting. Warriors beat the Suns. They ended up winning by, 22, 24 points. 11th straight double-digit win at home. They've just been dominant here. Obviously, break Phoenix's 18-game win streak. This wasn't a fully stocked Phoenix team. Devin Booker strained his hamstring the other night. Wasn't there. This is the second night of a back-to-back. A little bit more of a tired Phoenix team. Mikal Bridges leaves for part of the game because he injured his hand and didn't do anything offensively. But still, within the game, you could just kind of see where Phoenix bothers the Warriors. And in small ways, they kind of solved it a little bit and, you know, run away with, you'd call it an impressive win.
Yep. I mean, it's, you know, it was a playoff kind of win. Not, you know, I'm not saying it was just like the playoffs. I'm saying they had to dig in against a more tired team. Like, there's different differences, but they had to figure some things out, be tough mentally, don't like do the stuff they did in game one, think it through. And we've seen the Warriors, the old classic Warriors, I mean, they figured out an opponent by game three or game four in a series. Memphis is the one you think about. Oklahoma City's another one. And win, you know, 5, 6, 7, whatever, you know, win those money games. This was obviously not exactly like that, but it felt a little more like the Warriors figuring something out, playing smart. And like when I asked Steph about just kind of over the overview of how he's feeling, he obviously feels very good about this team. But it's interesting. He's like, you know, it's Wiggins. There's, it's Jordan Poole. It's, you know, a couple players who are in huge roles who have never been a part of a championship team. Certainly not a Warriors championship team. And I think he and Draymond love that. Like, knowing they've got Klay coming, knowing they've got Wiseman coming, they've got these guys that they can count on, and it's Poole and Wiggins, I think, are, you know, the two that they're underlining. And you can throw Gary Payton II, you can throw in Montrezl Connor-Anderson. We'll probably talk about them a little bit. Had great games tonight. But for them, it's having Andre around, and wasn't obviously playing these two games, and having Wiggins and Poole as part of their main rotation, who are not part of the championship run, but they feel like are plugged right into it as mainstays. That's what makes them feel great about this right now.
You know, you're watching these two Phoenix games, unlike other regular season games. It's the long view. It's the fact that, you know, as of right now, this is the 1-2 in the West. It's the clear two best teams right now. Well, you know, I'd loop Utah into it. But you're thinking of what a playoff series.
We're gonna get Utah comment. We're just talking about these two teams now. And Utah's, hey, wait a minute here.
Utah's got a better point differential than Phoenix. But anyway, you're thinking about what a West Finals might look like, or even a second round series, whatever. And to me, you know, the takeaway from game one, the Phoenix win, is like what Phoenix's defense can do. And we talked about it the other night, so we don't need to get too deep into that. But to me tonight, you know, on the flip side, it was what, you know, a Draymond Green small ball, fast, quick, versatile Warriors lineup does to you know, the staying big Suns, the JaVale McGee, but really the DeAndre Ayton Suns. And I wrote about it a little bit, but look, we've seen with Looney now through two games, he only gets 17 minutes in the first game. He's minus 10, is very ineffective. The Warriors offense is ineffective when he's on the court because he just congests it up, and it's tougher to trick Phoenix. You know, when Looney's on the floor, oftentimes they particularly when he's with Draymond. They kind of need to trick their way into baskets, and they do it well. It's just harder against Phoenix. And then he just didn't really, like, you'd need him to really handle Ayton if he's going to be out there. He doesn't seem to really be able to do that. So tonight he plays 15 minutes, four fouls, ineffective again. And the fact that he only played 15 shows that Steve Kerr sees this, right? I mean, lately he'd been playing 20-plus. That's been throttled back in this matchup. To me, it's clear. And if we're going to assume James Wiseman by second round by the West Finals is not still not going to be some like interior force that they're comfortable playing against Ayton, it's going to be Draymond Green against DeAndre Ayton. And tonight, 9-9-9-6-3. And those 6-3 are 6 steals, 3 blocks. And, you know, I put a lot of the film in my postgame. He was just really good in all the Ayton action, blocking out the oops, reading, you know, pocket passes, boxing Ayton out to keep him off the glass, forcing Ayton to take 18-footers, which the Warriors will take every possession. That matters. And from the Phoenix side, that's probably what would concern me most.
No question. And it's when the Warriors get into a tough spot, they put Draymond into it. And he has fixed it many, many times. I think what he does on this in this particular matchup is he plays a pick and roll and he switches on to Paul, but also is able to cover Ayton. That's like nobody does that. We can talk about all the great defensive players in this league. Rudy Gobert does not do that. He might be able to try to trail and try to bother, but he can't. Like, Draymond covers them both.
Draymond will start on Chris Paul if he needs to. He didn't tonight, but he can.
Exactly. It's just this, and Looney gets caught in the middle. It's not, I mean, it sounds like we rip him a lot, and I do probably, but, like, that's hard. Like, he does get caught in the middle where he's guarding Chris Paul. They drop it over to Ayton, so he's late over to Ayton. The help is too small to help on Ayton. And yet, it's not a problem with Draymond because he's guarding them both. It's just this miraculous thing he can do. Didn't do it so well in the game in Phoenix. He didn't play as great against Phoenix, in Phoenix. But this one, he was everywhere, swiping at the ball, stopping drives, and in the meantime, not giving up the center position to McGee or to Ayton. It was Draymond as defensive player of the year. This is Draymond defensive player of the year in the NBA. Clear leading candidate. I guess Gobert or Giannis would be the others, but it's Draymond right now. And, I mean, Steph says it. Their identity is defense. Like, that's what they know they can do. And that's what they played in Phoenix. Actually, I mean, it was pretty good. It wasn't great. This was great. And that's their baseline, and they work their offense in it. The defense sets up that 3-3-3 that they got in the third quarter, right? Boom. It's close game, 3-3-3. They're up 11. And that was what? Wiggins, Jordan Poole, and Steph, I think, was those three. And that's how your defense lets you hang around, and then you hit your explosive, and I go boom, 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 and then you're going to win a game, especially at home. But if I'm Phoenix, I'm a little worried about that. If I'm the Warriors, there are things, obviously, you should be worried about. Devin Booker did not play in the second half, by the way, of the game they lost. You know, the Phoenix has got guys. Cameron Payne can hurt we've seen him hurt the Warriors in the past.
He was like 3-17 tonight.
He was not great tonight, but, you know, they were forcing a lot of things. This is going to be a great match. I don't think either team has proven that they're better than the other one. Other than Milwaukee, I think this would be the toughest matchup for the Warriors. And I certainly think that the Warriors would be the toughest matchup for the Suns. Like, this is a perfect two teams looking at each other, knowing that if all things being equal, if all things happen the way we think it's going to be without injuries, they're the best two teams that should face each other. By the way, we are saying this with Warriors without Klay Thompson. I mean, that is the amazing part of this. Even Steph was setting it up. The Warriors might take a few steps back with Klay. Like, it's just 19-3 is crazy. Like,
record wise,
yeah, just drop a game you didn't think they were going to drop. Yeah, it's not going to be their worst team. It's just this is a high rhythm now where they got GP2 thrown in there. They can just come at you at these waves, and it's going to be a little different with Klay. Might be incredible. But I think they're anticipating it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment just to make sure that they're not shocked if that's the way it goes.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I've been trying to eat in more often lately, so I signed up for Home Chef. I've had a few packages come in, and being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over all the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, even for someone like me who isn't making it onto Top Chef anytime soon. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what you're making ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals plus free shipping on your first box and free dessert for life at homechef.com/plus. That's homechef.com/plus for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. Homechef.com/plus. Must be an active subscriber to receive the free dessert.
You know, in the NBA, I don't want to say lucked into this schedule, but they timed it up well, even if they didn't necessarily mean to. You get these two marquee games, even though no Booker, no Clay, at a good time. You know, this is as hyped as an early season NBA regular season game has been in a long time.
They flex this one, and they flex out of the Lakers-Clippers, which is, and that does shock, even in the world where we know the Warriors are monster ratings. And believe me, at The Athletic, we know what the numbers say about the Warriors. To flex out a Lakers-Clippers game for this is fascinating. Worth it. I'm sure the ratings were great, but it does tell you the world knows that this is the matchup to watch. There's a lot of stars on these two teams.
Yeah, and where I would credit the NBA, they put this as a Christmas matchup.
Yep.
And I don't think they viewed it as like this is going to be the sparkling Christmas matchup, but you know it's going to turn out to be, and there might be a Klay Thompson in there. There should be a Devin Booker back for that game. That's good. You know, you mentioned earlier JTA and Gary Payton. They were probably the two role-playing stars of the night. I think they combined for 36 points off the bench. A lot of energy from JTA after what really was a disastrous performance the other night. I think he had 5 turnovers in 13 minutes. And then Payton wasn't a disastrous performance the other night. It was more of a, where is he? I think he had 5 first-half minutes while Chioza had 9. Tonight, you know, the Warriors only have like 9-10 available players, and Chioza is deactivated.
Yeah.
He's in street clothes. He just, you know, they're saving a two-way day with him. Yeah. But that told you that going in, they knew, like, no, Gary Payton's going to play a lot more. And you mentioned it to Steve, but he kind of alluded to it a little bit pregame. And then you saw it on the floor. I mean, Gary Payton was everywhere.
I think it is a point of some discussion that Gary Payton should be playing more, whether it's inside the Warriors' coaching offices or just in conversation. Like, the numbers are the numbers. I went through it a couple weeks ago. Like, he's ridiculous. He's their most plus player per minute, more than Steph Curry.
He's probably the most in the NBA, to be honest.
It's ridiculous. Every time he plays, and even Kerr mentioned this point, like, every time he plays, he's a plus. And sometimes it's a huge plus. Like, maybe you don't love him offensively. I think Kerr might get frustrated with him offensively because he doesn't dribble the ball.
He got pissed at him today for a couple fouls.
Yeah, there's some things he does. But when you look at the balance of it, if you just look at how the team does when he's in there, they do better when he's in there than when he's not in there. And that's in a bunch of minutes now. This is not just a short, small sample size. And I think it's been on Kerr's mind. Because sometimes he just throws these random lines out there and he tells you what's on his mind. He's kind of like just thinking about it. And it's a Gary Payton second should be playing 15 to 20 minutes every game. And he hadn't been for a couple. And it was Chris Chioza. And, we know Kerr loves the ball-handling point guard to keep things sane, not turn it over. Chioza does those things.
Was that deactivation from the front office?
No, like saying, did you have to deactivate him to make sure Steve Kerr didn't play? No, we're not saying that. But I just think if he just commits to playing, I wrote this in the piece a couple weeks ago, like he is not, should not lose much of his role when Klay comes back. I'm like, there's just all the numbers point to him being such a positive impact on almost every single game he plays. And sometimes it's a monster impact like this one. It might be rolling around in Kerr's mind, and I think he's like he's gonna commit to it. Like this was tonight was his commitment to it. Again, might change here and there, but this guy just—it's a positive every time he's out there, and things happen. The Warriors play faster; they get the turnovers. We see an open space for Steph. They can't clamp him, in the transition game. And I'll tell you that Draymond, Wiggins, GP2, JTA foursome was a monster in that third quarter. Was just a monster on defense. This is, and you're going against Chris Paul. Like, you're going against DeAndre Ayton. These are good players, and they're just taking them totally out of it. Again, they're tired. Not saying that this is always going to happen, But that's a really nice force to be able to throw out against a very good team.
Yeah, other things. And JTA has the dunk on JaVale McGee, yeah, which was, you know.
Is that better than the Wiggins dunks on Cat?
I think just because there's a little bit more with the Wiggins Cat. If we're just, like, judging it purely on dunks, maybe. I mean, he was going straight at JaVale.
He rose up and, like, Wiggins didn't have that. Like, he literally, like, okay, there's a big guy in front of me, and he brings it back almost behind his head, maybe even behind his head.
Yeah.
That isn't a freak. And I don't think JaVale even touched the ball, right? It wasn't like he had to throw it through. Like, he just threw it on top of him.
No, and I tweeted out his answers post-game, which were funny, and JaVale retweeted it with, like, I'll sign your poster or something like that. I mean, people can look at it online. Yeah, there's already been an interaction online. Also, JaVale's a better shot blocker than Cat.
Yes.
And then the other thing I was going to mention was Wiggins, you know, starts on Paul because Booker's not out there. He had the back spasms, which he kind of detailed. Wiggins becoming a tiny bit better quote.
Yes.
Slowly, a tiny bit better quote.
He's just warming up to you and me, Slater. He sees our smiling faces, and he knows we're going to ask him good questions. But I'll just say, like, having a wounded Wiggins gut through it and having a healthy Wiggins tonight, he's important to the Warriors. Like, you can say he doesn't seem like he's there. No matter what, he's important to the Warriors. That position is so important for them. And a lively, bouncy Wiggins who can finish and hit an open three, which he just... it was not possible for him last game. And it's a tremendous gut check for him to go through that, play 34 minutes.
After he said he was trying to put his sock on and his back seized up, I was like, oh, that's not a good sign.
Not a lot of guys would have played that game. I mean, we know that.
I saw him pregame. Yeah. He looked so bad to the point of, like, I was watching Drew Yoder watch him, and I was like, all right, I'm ready for them to give the signal of, like, can't go. And then he said he was going to go. I was like, okay. And then, yeah, he was kind of a negative in that game. Other than that, Tim, I'm going to get us out of here because there is another game in, like, you know, basically 15 hours here.
I will not be at this game, but you will be there. I might be watching some college football tomorrow.
I might be watching some college football in the morning. Yeah, good thing
you had a nice break of the schedule. You get the freaking Oklahoma State game in the morning.
9 a.m.
I will be watching Michigan-Iowa for a lot of reasons, and that game's at 5, so that's what this game I'm watching.
Let me just leave you out with the end of this homestand. It is Spurs in here tomorrow. Very beatable Spurs team.
All right,
Tim's calling a loss, but, you know, a very beatable Spurs team.
That's all I'm saying. It's back-to-back after a very emotional win.
Okay. But this is the rest of the homestand. Spurs, Magic, Blazers. Blazers without Lillard. Yeah. Blazers who just fired their GM, and then obviously the Magic are a tanking team, and the Spurs are, you know, they're a lottery team in the West. If you just take care of business,
22-3.
You'd be 22-3, which is crazy. So anyway, we will talk to you probably Monday or Tuesday.